today. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Be talking out of the sixth chapter of Romans today. Just lately, I've run across quite a few people that, I mean, they're still struggling. Anybody else are struggling? Some days it's just like, wow, you know. I've talked before about that printer I have. That gets under my skin. Well, I haven't been able to use it for a while, but I got a tractor, and it has taken its place. So now I have irritation with tractors sometimes. And at the end of it, you know, I just think, Lord, I know you're trying to work this out in me, but can you do it sooner than later? Can you do it quicker, faster, more efficiently? He's already done his part. I have to walk through the patience part. Understanding that if I want wisdom or I want faith, that he's willing to give it. He gives it to us liberally. He doesn't hold back. But because of where we are in relation to the world, the influences have much effect upon us. I want to start in verse 4 here. Therefore, you all know what to do with that. We are buried with him by baptism into death. When you're buried, you assume that the person is dead. So once in a while, you'll see, you know, some movie or something where they buried somebody alive. What a bummer, you know. But for the most part, if there is a burial going on, like out at the cemetery here, any of them, you pretty well know that that person that's getting buried is dead. No longer alive. Dead, dead, dead. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So as we, as Christians, we're buried in death of the old man. And many times when people are baptized, they are baptized as a symbol of burying the old man. And they raise in newness of life. That's not when they became a Christian. It's a symbol of the life that they're wanting to live and to lead. Now, Christ was buried unto death, and we need to realize that we need to be buried unto this death. He lived a perfect life, so he took the place of the original Adam that was supposed to live a perfect life, but failed and didn't do it. So another had to come that could do it. So the Son of God was sent in our stead, because when it comes to that type of thing, we are failures. We cannot do anything of ourselves. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's just disgusting, and it don't work anyways. We tend to want to rely on the thoughts and the psychology and the philosophy of the world to try to have our problems solved, and those people are just as messed up as anybody. Those ways are not God's ways. God's ways are perfect, they're pure, and they're just, and they're holy. But our ways are not. Man's ways are not. And the old man wants to creep up once in a while. We need to go back to the cross. Where could I go but to the cross? To the cross. That's where it's at. So when my tractor annoys me, like I've been stuck for the 10th time in the woods. The other day I was stuck there for about an hour before I got out. My man wants to get angry, frustrated, and just plain old messed up. But I have to say, I don't want to be this way. I don't want to react this way, no matter how stupid this tractor is. Tractor don't know nothing anyways. It don't know that it's stupid. And so within me, the frustration arises. And more the Spirit is just saying to me, you have to go back to the cross because only Jesus can deal with that. Jesus dealt with all of our frustration, all of our anger, all of our whining. The temptation, when we become Christians, that does not mean all of a sudden some switch comes on and your life is going to be perfect. It is not going to be perfect because we live in an imperfect world with imperfect people, including each of us. But Jesus made a way for us. And we're in a process, and He is changing us day by day into His image. Not into the image of the world, but not unto the image of myself and what I think I want to be, but under His image. And He's working that out through each and every one of us every day. We have to learn to live and to walk in newness of life. I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive in Jesus. I want that peace. I want that comfort. I want that knowing. And I don't have to be wondering all the time, well, am I not too naughty right now? I'm on my way to hell. No. There's confidence in what He appropriated for us. And when things do happen and the accuser wants to come, then Jesus says, no, I'm His attorney in heaven. And I'm saying my blood was sufficient. Verse 5. For we've been planted together. Wow. To be planted, you got a seed, you put it in the ground, and what does it do? It has to die first. It has to die to what it is. When it begins to sprout, it's no longer going to be a seed. It has begun to be something else, to grow in a newness of life. We have been planted or buried together in the likeness of His death. He gave it all. When He bled, man, it wasn't just a one bleeding thing that happened. And that wasn't an English term there, by the way. He bled in the garden with the anguish that He was going under. He bled sweat droplets of blood. He bled when they put the crowns on His head. He bled when they whipped Him, scourged Him. He bled when they put the nails in His hands. He bled when they put it in His feet. Later they came and pierced a spear into His side, and out flowed blood and water. He gave every bit of his blood, which was representative of what the Father required. All through the Old Testament, God required a blood sacrifice to cover their sins. And that's all it did. And it was temporary. But Jesus' blood washed it away. I'm so glad he washed my sins away. And keeps me singing every day. Because just one drop of Jesus' blood is more powerful than the blood of a million critters out there that could be sacrificed. Jesus' blood is perfect and is pure and it's holy. When you're struggling within yourself, Jesus, I know you shed that blood for me. I know you took my place. And I want to come back to that cross. I want to come back. You're the only answer, Lord. So many people, as they're walking and they hit some barricade, they want to go back. It's like the children of Israel. They were freed. The first time they hit an encumbrance, they wanted to go back into slavery because they had a slave mentality. They had not been freed in their mind and in their way of thinking and in their hearts. They were free physically. But when it came down to it, and they saw the boogeyman coming, they said, I want to go back to where I was. And that happens with so many people. They want to go back to the bottle. They want to go back to the junk, the needle. Other folks, they got this switch, the whining switch, and they'll turn that on, wah, 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 and feel sorry for myself. Immediately when these things begin to happen within us, our response needs to be, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, you're the only way, the only representation of truth. You're the only way to go. And Jesus, I need you. I don't need all this other garbage. Jesus, I need only you. And when he was raised and in his resurrection, we're to be raised in newness of life. And get a different perspective where that my mentality is not of a slave mentality, where I'm locked up and I'm in chains. But he broke those chains. He broke those bonds to deliver us. He brought me out of that miry clay. Put my feet on a rock. That rock is Jesus. There's no other one. There's no other way. Knowing this, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. He, being perfect, was able to be crucified to be a perfect sacrifice. But we need to understand that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth, from this point on, we're not going to serve sin. We're not going to be, and that word serve, you look it up and you'll say a slave. We're not going to be a slave to sin. That doesn't mean that we don't sin sometimes, but we're not. That's not our intention in life. Those people out there, some of them, they intentionally say within themselves, I want to have a good time. I'm going to go out and be the dirtiest, rotten, filthiest person I can tonight. But as Christians, that's not our goal. Our goal is to please the Lord. Our goal is to live a life of consecration unto him. to understand that we are not no longer under the law, but we're under a grace now. And we're going to hit that in a few minutes. Because the law was imperfect, and nobody could keep that law anyways. There's some that acted like they could, but Jesus, he put them in their place every time. There's none that are righteous, no, not one. Okay, Lord, I want to still be growing in you. I still want my spirit man to grow, but I'd sure like it if my flesh could come along, because it irritates the snot out of me sometimes. Lord, help me. He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can deal with this situation. And this is so that that body of sin might be destroyed by being in him, and that we from this time forward should not be a slave to sin. That it has us in this grip and in this hold, and that we are completely under its guidance and direction. Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I'm going to say this not to belittle any person or group or whatever if you've been involved with this, but we need to have an understanding. When you're in the recovery programs of the world, you walk yourself in and you sit down and they go around the circle and they say, who are you? My name is Paul and I'm an alcoholic. Even though I have accepted Jesus as my Savior, even though that I believe that my sins are under the cross, I still have not gotten the mentality of freedom. And I don't like that particular methodology of dealing with that. Jesus said, because he that is free indeed. No longer a slave unto that sin. You are now free. You might regress and go back to what you was doing, but you know good and well all you've got to do is take one turn, and take one step toward Jesus, and he's already there. He does not leave us. He doesn't forsake us. And that mentality of keeping people in bondage, I knew a guy, he had 25-year buttons that said, I'm an alcoholic, but I haven't drunk in 25 years. I said, Lauren, you're free from that. You don't have to have the confession that you're a drunk, an alcoholic any longer. It's done. It's gone. You can apply that same mentality and there's some of those same things to other areas of our lives. You don't have to accept the fact that you're a creep. Even though you know you've done creepy things in your life. I'm no longer a womanizer. I'm no longer a pervert. I'm touching some buttons there somewhere. I'm no longer going to accept to be a nag. I'm no longer going to accept to give myself and to be a slave to whining and complaining and criticizing and lying and deception and inordinate behavior and shady jokes. Ooh. My goal is to be like Jesus, see? Doesn't mean none of those things will ever happen. It's just that our goal is to serve him, to be a slave unto him, not unto those things. and those lifestyles. We used to sing a little chorus, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. Well, people would sing that, but they didn't really want to put in the time that it took to get closer to Jesus. They didn't want to spend time in the Word. They didn't want to spend time praying. Next Sunday, they come back and sing the same thing. Nothing has changed. Nothing is different. The Holy Spirit can work within us, but our body, our mind, our soul man needs to know what the Word of God says. And to meditate on that day and night, night and day. We let this incense arise unto him of praise and worship. And I will, and I decide that I'm going to follow Jesus regardless of the things going on around me, and especially the things that want to crop up in my own life. You cannot give up on yourself. Jesus hasn't given up on you. There's nobody on the face of the earth that is beyond redemption. It's only the enemy of our souls, that liar and murderer from the beginning, that would want to draw us away and draw us back down into the depths of the slime of life. We don't belong there. We're now the righteousness of God in Christ. It's not in some book out there somewhere, a philosophy. It's not in Nietzsche. It's not in Darwin. It's not in Spock. I'm not referring to the outer space Spock. Dr. Spock. Go to verse 8. It would do us all good to read this chapter frequently in order to remember, have a time of remembrance. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. With who? With him. So in this life, we're living with Jesus. We hear nonsense on the news, and it frustrates us. Don't listen to the news. Spend more time in the Word. Listening to the Bible on tape. Listening to good preaching. Listening to good music. Those knuckleheads on the... they don't have a clue, and they all act like they're just so, you know, they know it all. You don't know nothing. You're dummies. You don't have a clue. Your puny little lives are wrapped up in whatever you can come up with. It's pathetic. They need to get a vision of Jesus. Then they'd really have something to have a newscast about. But no, they find the most disgusting, most filthy, most weird things that they can come up with. Non-normal. Even for the world. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. There's teachings out there that Jesus has to die for you every day. Good night. No more. He died once, and that's it. Not necessary any longer. death hath no more dominion or power or influence over him. The same is applied to us. It doesn't have the power, the strength to control, to keep us in that place of bondage. We give in to it sometimes. But it does not have power any longer to control our lives. We no longer have to accept what the world would say and how it wants to define us, because you're all precious in His sight. We are all precious before Him. We're the children of the Most High God. We've been bought with a price, a supreme sacrifice, that blood of Jesus. And we're commanded to be holy as He is holy. But I can only be holy in Jesus. I can't be holy in myself, because all my righteousness is as filthy, dirty, rotten, scumbag rags. Scummy rags. Jesus, help us all. Verse 10. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God, unto the Father, unto the wishes of the Father, unto the mentality of the Father. I do nothing except that the Father gives me guidance and direction. 11, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive. He's alive. Alive unto Jesus. Alive unto God through Jesus. Not of my own self, not of my own works, not of my own disposition, but alive because of Jesus. Christ, who is not only our Savior, but He's Master and He's our Lord. We are servants unto Him. He is our Master. He's worthy of all of our praise. And the blood of Jesus the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, it's still in vogue today. The power that is in that is still just as powerful today as when it was shed on that cross. And it's still in the song, it says, it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. It will never lose its power. It will never lose its influence. Some of you think once in a while maybe, oh, I don't know if I'm really saved. I don't know, you know, what's going on. No, it does not lose its power, its strength, or its influence. You have been made alive in Him. No more death unto self, but alive in Jesus. Moving on and moving forward in life, ever desiring to be more like Him, to be influenced more every day by the function of the Holy Spirit that can work in and through us to bring us unto that nature of Christ. I no longer want to have that slave mentality. I want to be sanctified unto the Lord. And that sanctification takes on continuously. It's not a one-time operation, because we need it all the time. We need Jesus all the time, every day and in every moment. Can we go to 12, please? Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let it just go in perpetuity. Keep following and keep flowing into it. No. Got to put your little spiritual foot down and say, no, I'm in Jesus. Flesh, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't want any filthy, dirty, rotten, stupid things coming out of my mouth or in my actions to be exemplified as of the world. I want my actions, my deeds, my words to be represented through Jesus. And as a function of the cross, wow. Because the lusts are still there. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you still even have problems with sexual lusts or lust after things? Lust after stuff. You know good and well you don't need that thing, but you go and get it anyways. It just goes into your room of things, room of stuff, garage of things, a garage with stuff in it. You don't need it. You just want it. And it puts you deeper into debt, and then you whine about being in debt. Being in debt is something that the world and the devil uses it to clamp you, to hold you in this place. Debt is a mentality of slave. Be free. Work to get out of debt. Owe no man anything. Those are true words. And it's hard, especially when you need a house. There's some things you just have to. I mean, that's the way it is. We're not living in a society any longer where you can go out and kill a few critters and put up some poles and wrap the skin around it. Got to live in a house. And they're not cheap. They're getting weirder all the time. More expensive all the time. And it brings out frustrations in people. I can't find a decent place to live. It's so expensive. The world puts people in this place of desperation. As much as it is to your ability, stay away from debt. Any of you youth, anybody younger that's thinking about going to college, figure out a way to do it without taking out those vile loans. Until just last year, I was still paying on student loans that I had from the 70s. Do not take that kind of stuff. It's wicked. And it's hard on the mentality. It's hard on us to have to live through that. To pay that stupid credit card bill every month. I'm hungry, but I got this credit card bill. You got to figure out a way to get rid of it. More and more and more. I had credit card debt not huge amounts, but I listened to, you know, programs and stuff, and I thought, well, there's other people that was where I was at. And I just decided, I got to get out of this. And instead of going to the store and buying those things I wanted, it was hard, but I'm going to put an extra 20 or an extra 50 or an extra 100 or whatever it is that I don't absolutely need this month to live on. I'm putting it on that dumb card or cards. I had three of them. But a day finally came when I owed nothing on any of them. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that there is a release and there's a relief off of us when we don't owe. Because it's in competition with what we owe to our master. I owe him everything. Body, soul, spirit, I owe to Jesus. Because he paid the price for me to be free. And for me to feel good. To have a peace and a joy in him. 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members, I'm talking about your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but you're now under grace. The grace of God. It was amazing grace. I mean, just simply amazing. When that slave trader got a realization of what he was doing, that he needed to change his life, and he wrote that song, it was truly amazing grace. And the sound of it was so sweet. He gained freedom from this burden of trading in people. One of the most low-life type things that takes place on the face of the earth. But he felt the freedom. And even thought, wow, even after 10,000 years, I'm still going to feel this freedom. I'm still going to feel the mighty hand of God. I'm still going to be free from sin. I'm still going to be free from a diabolical lifestyle. Freedom. I think I'm going to end there. But this issue pops up in all of our lives occasionally. Anybody besides me have trouble with this sometimes? I mean, it just things happen and taken place. And the bickering and the biting at each other and nonsense. Don't be looking at her. And you don't be looking at him. But Lord, we want to be free in you. We want to be free in Jesus. Let's stand together. Lord, we need you. There is no other way. There's no other concept. There's no other program that's going to truly answer what we have need of. Lord, we need you. We just come before you today, Lord, and you minister into each one of us. And when sometimes things begin to go haywire, bring it to our remembrance, Lord. It's all about Jesus. It's about what he did on the cross and about that blood that was shed, and that we look unto him as the author and the finisher of our faith. Bless these folks today, Lord. Go with us all. And Lord, give us a real good prayer meeting tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.